Thank you, Dave. Good morning to you. Appreciate you being out here on this rainy Sunday morning. But we do thank the Lord that we can sing of the sunshine that's in our hearts. And we do hope that that's true of you. That as you come here this morning, you do know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. You individually, as a human being, have come to that point where you've received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you've not, we're thankful that you're here. We trust that something that's shared this morning, that the Spirit of God will take His Word and will impress it on your heart and will show you the joy of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have been forgiven of your sins, not because you've done anything, but because you've received the Lord Jesus and He has forgiven you of your sins through His death, in His burial and resurrection. I trust that as we reflect this morning on the topic that we're going to be considering, that God will work mightily in your life. A number of months ago, we had some feedback from over 100 folks here on one Sunday morning about different ways that Satan specifically attacks you. These were given anonymously, and we compiled them and have sought to begin to look at some of them at various times as we go throughout the year in our studies. And I would like to look at one this morning that came up a number of times on a number of index cards, and it's really the compilation of several things. I'm putting it under the heading of fear. You might take worry and anxiety and put those together, and I did as I thought about this, thinking about this topic of fear. Now, as we consider what God would say, we know that He would tell those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, never fear. Now, you might have heard that little phrase before, even in a secular connotation, never fear. In fact, you might have seen something. Now, you see the blank there. I'm going to let you in your mind. Fill that in. Never fear, blank is here. Now, you might say, oh, yeah, never fear, dinner is here. Okay, or never fear, 12 o'clock is finally here. You might add the finally in there. Or maybe you would say, never fear, the Carolina Tar Heels are here. Oh, I don't know how that slipped out, but anyway. Oh, man, I didn't mean to say that. Never fear, whatever is here. Well, actually, as I did a little research and tried to figure out the origin of this little phrase, you might be surprised. Now, this is the first time that I could find it in a public way. I'm not saying nobody has ever said this before, but the first time that I could really find it is probably going to surprise you when you find out what was in the blank. Never fear, underdog is here. All right? Now, that's the first time I could find it. And I don't know, you might be able to find, how many of you remember underdog? All right, underdog, that's pretty good. It's probably enough we could almost sing the theme song, but we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that here this morning, but back in October of 1964, Underdog debuted in an animated television series, and normally when Underdog spoke, he would speak in rhyme. And his most famous saying, when he arrived on the scene to save, sweet Polly Purebred, and the world from villains, he would say, never fear, underdog is here. Now, if you have fear in your heart this morning, I don't know that seeing underdog there makes you feel any more secure than you did before you thought about underdog. Now, for, sweet Polly Purebred is probably another story, but again, she was animated as well. But I do want us to think this morning about not fearing. Now, as we think about fear, we can look back into the very beginning of human existence. Now, before sin entered into the world, there was no fear in the sense of being afraid like we're thinking about this morning. Now, of course, the reverence for God referred to as fear. We recognize that as a healthy fear, a healthy respect. But we're talking about the fear that comes as a result of sin. And you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord called Adam after Adam had sinned, Adam responded, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." I was afraid. Well, you can follow fear all through the Bible. You can go all the way to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ at the end of our New Testament. And in Revelation 18, when the great city of Babylon falls, we find that the merchants who had made their living, a very good living, off of the city of Babylon, we find that they will stand afar off for the fear of her torment and weeping and wailing as the judgment of God comes upon the earth. Now, I don't know how relevant you feel fear is in your life. Some of you, based on what was turned in on some of those cards, some of you feel like that of all the attacks that Satan brings against you in your life, fear is his number one weapon. Now, fear in some way touches all of us. Sometimes it does not have a strong impact on our lives. It may be more of an inconvenience or a discomfort or an irritation. But for other people, fear is something that controls their lives. Now, the Lord would tell us, and I'm going to ask you to start out, if you would, in your Bible, in Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to look just quickly at one verse. I'm not going to be expounding this verse or this passage this morning. In fact, we're going to look at a number of different verses as we go through. But I want you to start out here. And as you turn to this and as you hear this verse, I want you just for a moment to reflect a little bit on, first of all, of what are you afraid? Now, I know there's some really brave people out here. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing you're afraid of. Some of the most courageous men in the military have confessed that it wasn't that they weren't afraid, but rather that they learned how to control their fear, how they dealt with their fear. And it's not that none of us should ever experience anything that might make us afraid, but as we come to the Word of God, we find the secret to not fearing and not letting fear control our lives and not letting fear negatively impact our lives, particularly in a spiritual sense. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do not fear," God says. Do not fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. We go to the New Testament and we find the Lord Jesus repeatedly speaking those words. Fear not. Do not be afraid. How true that is, that God does not want us to be afraid. This morning I want us to consider some of the times in the Scripture that God has given us that command. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I want us to think about how we can deal with fear that comes into our lives, things that cause us to be afraid. Some of you might say, "Well, the only thing I'm afraid of is a spider." Somebody else might say, "I'm afraid of my health condition," or what it might be. "I'm afraid of my financial circumstances and what is coming in our economy." Someone else might say, "I fear what is going to happen with my children." Others say, I am afraid because of the world situation and what that's going to mean." And there may be other fears piercing your mind and your heart right now. They may be small to someone else, but very large to you. And they have a great impact on your life. And God is saying, don't be afraid. Now, there are a number of things that we can do in a practical sense, even. We need to be honest with ourselves, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and we need to look and say, is there a sin in my life that is encouraging this fear? If so, I need to confess that and repent. Maybe it's something as practical as taking care of our physical health and eating better and sleeping well and getting some exercise. Maybe it's talking about our fears with a trusted confidant and listening to godly counsel. And all of those are practical things. And there are many other practical things that can be beneficial. But what I would like to suggest to you this morning, based on the times that we find God saying, don't fear, don't be afraid, I would suggest that the key to not being afraid is to focus on God and what He does for me as a believer. Not focusing on myself and how I'm going to overcome the fear. Not even focusing on the fear or the circumstance or the person or the possibility that is causing me to be fearful, but rather to focus on God and His actions on my behalf. Don't be afraid. The Lord is here. Never fear. The Lord Himself is here. God is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. God the Holy Spirit is here. Let's begin to look at some of these ways in which He relates to us and be encouraged and reminded why, because of that, we don't need to fear. We shouldn't fear. Now, again, I'm not saying that what I'm going to share this morning is going to deal with every aspect of every fear in your life. But I am going to suggest that the more you take this and you apply this in a real way by the power of God in your life, the more that it's going to give you victory over fear. The more you are going to find courage, not in yourself, not in your circumstances, but in the Lord God Almighty. And here's the first way He relates with us. He stays with us. He stays with us. Back in the book of Joshua, we've looked at that recently in our studies going from Egypt to Canaan. But you remember there, or you may not remember there, but in Joshua, the Lord spoke to Joshua, encouraging him, and Joshua had plenty of reason to fear. He had been the understudy of Moses for a number of years, but now Moses was gone. Moses was dead. Joshua was responsible for leading the Israelite people into a land that was, yes, flowing with milk and honey, but also was flowing with enemies who would like nothing better than to kill anybody who thought they were going to take the land that they determined belonged to them. And Joshua has a responsibility, and the Lord speaks to him and says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He stays with the believer. "Do not be afraid, Joshua, because the Lord your God is with you, Joshua, wherever you go, Joshua." And you can put your name in there if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What a blessing to not only not have to fear hell, the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's what I deserve. I deserve to spend all eternity separated from God who is love. I don't deserve any of God's love. Any of God's light. I don't deserve any blessing from God. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I'm guilty before God. But because I've trusted Jesus Christ, who died for me and rose again, I've received Him as my Savior. He has forgiven me of my sins. And now I don't have to fear spending eternity in the lake of fire. Rather, I'm looking forward to being with Him in heaven for all of eternity. But it's not just that I don't need to fear the eternal punishment for my sins, but I don't need to fear anything here in this life. No matter how real it might seem, and truly some of our fears are based on what might happen. And that can be a powerful, controlling thing in our lives, what might happen. But not only what might happen, what is happening. And we can be afraid of that. But the Lord says, do not be afraid, because I am with you wherever you go. Recently at our Southeastern Workers Conference hosted here at the chapel, the theme for those 3 days of meetings was Emmanuel, God with us. What a blessing for the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to think of the omnipresence of God, the fact that God is everywhere at the same time. Psalm 139 gives us words that if we don't know Christ as Savior should cause us to be fearful. But if we do know Him personally, then we should find encouragement and courage from these words. Where the psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. The one who has received Jesus Christ as Savior has the assurance of the words from the very lips of the one who died for you and rose again when he says, recorded in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, I'm going to stay with you. The Lord Jesus also spoke of God the Holy Spirit. We have it recorded in John 14 and verse 17, where the Lord Jesus speaks of the one whom he is sending to be a helper. He says, He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. God looks down at you, and whatever circumstance you find yourself, and whatever thing is causing you to be afraid, and He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid, because I will stay with you. We think of a young child. I think of my own children. They're all grown up beyond this example that I'm going to share with you this morning. But all of us know what it is to have a young child be afraid. Maybe even if it's not your own child. You've seen children who are afraid. And what do? They run normally to their father or their mother. And it may be something as simple as my little daughter Anna, or when she was a little daughter Anna, being afraid of having to speak to a stranger. Anna, say hello to Mr. Jones. She goes around behind Daddy's leg and holds on. My dad's going to protect me from mean Mr. Jones. Or from anything else, the boogeyman, or whatever it is that the child is afraid of. The child knows that daddy or mommy or grandma or granddad or some other adult in his or her young life is going to take care of them. And if mom or dad is there, if this person is there, then I'm okay. And I don't need to be afraid, because they're going to take care of me. And any time that they're with me, I don't need to be afraid. And wherever you go, you know what? It doesn't matter where your feet take you. The Lord stays with you. It doesn't matter where your car takes you or some other mode of modern transportation takes you. The Lord stays with you wherever you go. Doesn't matter where your mind takes you. And we've studied a little bit about the mind and Satan's attacks on the mind and the importance of the helmet of salvation. But wherever your mind takes you, the Lord says, I am with you wherever you go. Wherever your emotions take you. And your emotions can take you into some very, very dark and scary places. But the Lord says, I'm with you, and I'm going to stay with you. And you're not going to go anywhere where I am not staying with you. No matter even where your enemy may take you. No matter where a terrorist may take you. No matter where a kidnapper may take you. The Lord says, I'm going to be with you. And some of these circumstances are real. And you may find yourself in some of these situations. Or you may be there now. And it doesn't mean that something terrible is not going to happen. I'm not up here to tell you that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, that you won't have any tragedy happen in your life. I'd have to be a liar to say that. But the point is, whatever happens to you, wherever you go, whatever dark place the journey of your life takes you, the Lord is there with you, and He stays with you. The Lord told Abraham, or rather told Isaac and Jacob, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Moses could tell the people of God, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. And before Moses died, he told the people of God, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Can I tell you this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the Lord has promised to stay with you in every situation, wherever you go. He stays with me. Think that in your mind right now. It's a biblical truth. If you're truly a Christian, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, then you can say with confidence, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter how scary the circumstance, you can say, He stays with me. But not only can you say He stays with me, you can be confident that He shows me. He shows me. In the book of the Revelation, we find John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, the way he described himself in his gospel. And he sees the Lord Jesus glorified. And we read in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The words of the Lord Jesus to his disciple, the words of the Lord Jesus to the believer, the words of the Lord Jesus to you. Do not be afraid. But God never says, just don't be afraid. He could say that, and we should take Him at His word, and we should not be afraid. But God continually tells us not to be afraid, and then He tells us why we shouldn't be afraid. And the reasons that we shouldn't be afraid all have to do with Him, who He is, and what He does for us. And here we find, what did He do for John? He showed him. What did He show him? He showed him who He is, not who John was. He didn't say, John, look at yourself and don't be afraid. He didn't say, John, look around you at your surroundings and don't be afraid. No, He said, John, let me tell you who I am. And that's why you don't need to be afraid. You see, John, I am the first and the last. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I, John, have the keys of Hades and of death. And the Lord, this morning, wants to show you who He is, so that you'll know, I don't need to be afraid. He reveals Himself to us. You know, my daughter, as she got older, she began to realize, my dad is really not that big of a guy. And Mr. Jones is 6'4", 285 pounds. I'm not sure if my dad can protect me anymore like I thought he could when I was 4 years old. And as we get older, we begin to look around and we find, unfortunately, more reasons to be afraid. We know more about life. We know more about what's out there. We know about what possibly can happen because we've experienced some of it and we've seen more of it and we've heard more of it. And we need a little more encouragement. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm the first and the last. I started it all. You see, there was nothing. And out of nothing, I created the universe beyond what humans can even begin to comprehend. And scientists, as they get more and more powerful telescopes, say, wow, it's bigger than we ever imagined. And of course, it's smaller than we ever imagined too. And the stronger and stronger telescopes also stand beside the stronger and stronger microscopes as we see all the small, minute details of what God has created. And he said, I did all of that and I made you. And I'm the last too. I'm the end of time as you know it. And I'm going to be there for you. And I'm going to be there all with you all through the end. And that's who I am. I am the first and the last. I am the one who lives and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. You know, I died for you. You think I don't care? You think I don't know? He wants us to know. He's the one who died for us, and he rose again. He's victorious over death. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? The Lord said, I'm in control. I'm above that. I'm stronger than that. And I'm going to stay with you. And I want you to know who I am and what I'm like. He is the glorious, eternal, living, sovereign God of the universe. He's the one who says, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you individually, whatever you're going through. Nehemiah used this truth to encourage those under his command when they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem and there were enemies who were trying to stop them. And he said to those around him, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. He didn't say, hey, look at you and how you've been pumping iron and how you're so buff and how you can handle it. He didn't say, check out your sword and see how sharp it is. He said, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, how great He is and how awesome He is. And when you're afraid, God says, look at me. Look at me. I'm with you. Remember who I am. David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David found himself many times just a breath, a footstep away from death. Saul was after him. Here was David. God had said, you're going to ascend to the throne. Saul says, hold that thought. Hold that right there. I'm the king. I've got some good years left in me, and I've got my own sons. I don't need Jesse's son. And so I'm going to finish off this pretender to the throne. David had plenty of reasons to be afraid and many beyond that. He had his own emotional struggles, his own mind attacks. And we read about those throughout the Psalms. But he said, I don't need to fear anybody. I've got the Lord as my light. He's the one who shines himself upon me in all of his glory and majesty. He's the one who lights my path. He is the one who is my salvation. And I can count upon him. He is the very strength of my life. And the Lord Jesus says, don't be afraid. I am the strength of your life. It's not you. It's not how brave you are. It's not how smart you are. It's not how rich you are. It's not how healthy you are. He said, rather it's me. I am the strength of your life. Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8, we read that the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, says this, "I am the first and the last. Besides me there is no God, and who can proclaim as I do? Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." God says, "I'm the only one, and I'm the one you need, and I am with you. I will stay with you, and I will show you who I am, that you can have confidence that you do not need to be afraid, no matter how real the circumstance is. Don't be afraid." What are you afraid of this morning? What is it that's striking fear into your heart, and maybe nobody else even knows, or only a few people very close to you? But God knows about it, and He promises, "If you're mine, I'm going to stay with you individually, and I'm going to show you who I am, that you will have that confidence that you can rest in Him. No matter how terrible the situation gets, no matter how much pain, no matter how low the bank account goes, no matter what that child does, no matter how dark the night gets, He is the same. And He changes not. Don't be afraid. He stays with me. He shows me how thankful I am that He hears me. He hears me." In Genesis chapter 21, we read the story of Hagar, Abraham's Egyptian wife, or handmaid, Sarah's handmaid, given to Abram, that he might have a child. The child of promise, Sarah thought, through her slave girl. That was not God's way. But God cares. And when Abram, at the insistence of Sarah, sent away Hagar found herself with her son Ishmael. And she found herself in a desperate situation, and she was afraid for the life of her son. What's going to happen to my son? He's lying under this little bit of shade out in the desert sun, and there's nothing to drink. What's going to happen to my son? I fear for his life. You read there in Genesis 21:17, "And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" And I would encourage you with that this morning. Don't be afraid. You can say with confidence, "He hears me." God has heard, and God hears when you pray. In fact, God knows your need before you ask Him. God knows your need before you're even able to verbalize it. He knows your need. What it means to someone who's afraid, to someone who's uncertain, to someone who's anxious, to someone who's worried, to know that there's somebody that's listening. Imagine yourself down in the depths of the earth in a Chilean mine, knowing there's no way of escape, and then you find out that somebody can hear you, that somebody is listening, that somebody who has resources and who cares is in a position to do something about your situation. People gathered in Tahrir Square, and people are gathering across the Middle East in a variety of public places. And they're taking their cellular phones and their iPods and their computers, and they're spreading the word. And if it was just them standing alone in a place against an authoritarian government, they would be in great fear. But they send out the message, and there are people that hear and that are responding and that are gathering, and they don't have the same level of fear that they had before. Why? Because somebody is listening. And God says, "I'm much greater than somebody that can preserve you in a Chilean mine, or come and join with you in a Middle Eastern city. I'm greater than that. Wherever you are, I'm there. And I am the great and mighty, the glorious one. And I will never leave you. And I hear every beat of your heart. And I hear every burden of your mind. And I hear every concern that goes through your life. He says, I know about it. I'm listening. And I hear Ishmael laying under the bush out in the middle of the wilderness with nobody around. I hear his cry. And he heard the cry of his people in Egypt. They'd been in bondage, and he heard, and he responded, and he's listening. And you know, even when you can't verbalize it, even when you are so afraid, and you're so controlled by your anxieties that you can't even verbalize a prayer, we read in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter that the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And when you can't say it, God is listening. God hears you. He knows your fear. He knows what is out there. He said to Daniel through the angel, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. He said, I heard it. I heard it, Daniel. The very first time that you just set your heart to understand, Daniel, before you'd said a word about your circumstance, I heard it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Daniel. I'm with you. I'm revealing myself for who I am to you. And Daniel, I'm listening to you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, we read again, an angelic messenger from God who said to Zacharias, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. The psalmist said in Psalm 3, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. From his holy hill, Selah, I lay down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Why? Because the Lord has heard me. And you know what? It really doesn't matter if you feel like God hears you. That does matter to you. But it doesn't change a thing with God's ear. His ear is open to the cry of the righteous. Not the person who comes to God in self-righteousness. No, the Lord Jesus said, if your righteousness doesn't surpass that of the Pharisees, you can forget entering to the kingdom of God. And people looked around and said, whoa. You talk about some righteous people, check out those guys. But the Lord Jesus said, you better have a righteousness beyond them. You better have a standing before God that goes beyond them, because their standing was that of a self-righteousness. But Paul said, I've had the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself applied to my account and to my life. And I'm righteous not because of what I have done, but because what he has done. And that's where we find our righteousness. And the ear of the Lord is open to our cry. The faintest little whisper, the thought that goes through your mind, the emotion of fear that grips your heart in a moment, the Lord knows all about it. Yes, he wants you to express that to him, but he is listening. He says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, not because of you, not because of your circumstance, not because of what might or might not happen, but rather don't be afraid because of me. You know, he stays with me. He shows me who he is, and he hears me. There's some more, and we'll look at them week after next. And I encourage you to meditate on these three this week. Whatever your fear might be, whatever Satan might do to try to attack you in this area, you meditate on these truths, knowing they come from the Word of God. The Lord stays with me. The Lord shows me who He is. The Lord hears me. I'm going to give you just a moment to respond to God quietly in your heart before I close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truths that we've looked at from your word this morning. Father, some here do not struggle with this issue of fear and worry and anxiety, and we thank you so much for that. But Father, we pray that each one that does not struggle will have a new sensitivity to those who do. And Father, we'll pray for them that they might recognize that the Lord is with them and the Lord is showing himself to them and the Lord is hearing them. And Father, for each one of us, Lord, whether we fear or not, might we be encouraged by these truths that you are with us wherever we go. Father, that you are the great and glorious and eternal sovereign Lord of the universe. There is none like you. There is none above you. You are the only God. And you hear us. Father, how humbling is that truth. Father, we pray that that might strike a chord in our hearts this week, that we might meditate upon these things, that we might know that whatever our situation, we don't need to fear. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for yourself. And Lord, any who do not know you here personally this morning, might they be drawn to the Savior. And we pray in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.